Go ahead and grab your Bibles. Let's open up to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 today. Message of the title will be Pressing Towards the Goal. And I think every year people like to set their goals for the upcoming year, their New Year's resolution. And I think Paul will give us an excellent idea for a New Year's resolution here in our passage. Paul talks a lot about Olympic events in the New Testament, about running and beating your body into submission, all these different things he talks about. And I remember growing up watching the Olympic Games, and I loved it. I loved every aspect of the Olympic Games. The Summer Games, the Winter Games, I could take or leave probably, but the Winter Games, the track and field, the shooting games that they had there, the basketball, because I was a big basketball junkie, still am. And I remember in 92 watching the U.S. Olympic basketball team, dubbed the Dream Team, play with Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan and Larry Bird. These guys that I really looked up to and their work ethic that they had in getting to the gold medal in 1992. This is one of the first times that professionals, especially in basketball, were able to play for the U.S., and they made a big impact on the Olympic Games at that time. But many of those who are in the Olympics are not necessarily professionals. They're average people like me and you, maybe with superhuman strength or superhuman speed. But they all have a goal. They all have a desire to do more, and they train daily to meet that goal of either making the Olympics or winning that gold medal for their nation. And each one of them are focused on that higher goal. And I think as we step out of 2020 and we go into 2021, we need to make goals for our lives. And that's not necessarily losing more weight, not necessarily getting into better shape, or doing better at my job, or doing better, make more money this year. Those aren't necessarily our goals. But there are people who end up having no goals in their life. They have no dreams, no plans for the future. They just kind of go day to day, hoping to collect a paycheck once or twice a month, pay their bills, and wash and repeat and do the same thing over and over again. But I'm asking you as a Christian, what is your goal in life? Maybe more immediate, what is our goal for 2021 as we go forward? What is the one thing that drives you or motivates you? I hope the answer isn't finances. I hope the answer isn't material goods. But I hope the answer is the goal that God has in mind for each and every one of us. This morning, I want to consider the goal that you are pressing forward towards. I want us to look at what Paul speaks about, what that goal is, and what he modeled himself after, and what he pursued as his lifelong goal. So, Philippians 3, and we're going to start in verse 12. Paul is going to show us exactly what his goal is, and I believe this should be our goal for 2021. And beyond. Matter of fact, this should be our goal every day of our lives. So let's go ahead and start verse 12. It says, "Not that I have already attained or are already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Paul is saying here that he has not arrived. In newsflash, none of us have arrived. And if you think you have arrived, you're wrong. That's the bottom line on that. None of us are perfected. I myself have many faults. I have struggles that are real. And I constantly strive to be like Christ, but so often fail in trying to do so because that is a hard goal to achieve. But I believe if we're going to better ourselves or become better Christians and have a better walk, we need to have those hard goals in our lives. And chasing after Christ can be a hard goal, but it's worth all the prize that you're going to receive. So we know that we have not made it. He says none of us will attain it. We won't attain it until we go home, that ultimate prize that we're going to speak about today. We will become perfected once we get to heaven. But in the meantime, we're here on earth not perfected, but working towards that. In Acts 9, when Paul was on his road to Damascus, that changed his entire destiny and changed his entire eternity and changed his entire direction in his life. That story goes something like this. There was a voice from heaven that called out, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" If I heard a voice from heaven calling out to me right now, I think I would do exactly what Paul ends up doing. Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" He already recognized it was somebody in authority that was speaking to him. It wasn't just anyone on the side of the road, because this voice is coming straight from heaven. He reached out and said, "Who are you, Lord?" He goes, "I am Jesus." This is Jesus speaking, obviously. "I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the goal, isn't it?" Then Paul says, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Paul's entire life changed at that moment. And I think when we have that encounter with Christ, our entire life should change it well as well. But we know, and you can speak to yourself, that often it changes for a moment, but sometimes we get stuck back in the ruts of everyday life. You know, Paul's moment here, he was apprehended or captive, caught captive by Christ. He was caught into captivity by Christ, and that is not a bad captivity to have. Paul's conversion and Paul's goals changed at this very moment. His passions changed. And when you meet Christ, and as your walk with Christ goes on from day to day and month to month, our passions change in our life. Paul said, "I'm not there yet." He goes, "I know I have captured that which I have captured when he calls me home." So Paul is saying, "I will capture that goal, that thing that Christ has called me to once I go to heaven, but I am not there yet." And Paul says in Philippians 10 and 11, just two verses prior, he says, "That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." So when he says that he had not obtained it yet, this is what he's talking about. He has not attained that resurrection with Christ yet. He has not attained being with Christ yet, but he is working towards that goal. And he states here in verse 12, he wants to make sure that the readers understood that he was not saying he is perfect, because he is telling them here, "I am not perfect. I have not attained. I have not gained that goal yet, so please don't think that way of me." And he cleared it up that he is still a work in progress, as all our lives are. Instead of claiming perfection, now Paul continues to pursue becoming more like Christ. A Christ-like life is not a moment to achieve, but it should be a goal to pursue. And I think in 2021, that should be our goal, is to have that Christ-like life, to pursue the goal of being like Christ. On the way here, we were having a conversation about, you know, what does God have for each of us? What is the meaning of life? You know, that's a question so many people ask. What is the meaning of life? And the meaning of life is simply serving and pleasing God and doing what God wants us to do. That is what we as believers, even unbelievers, are really set here for that purpose. They just don't know it yet. But we are here on earth. Our goal should be to reach for the prize, to push forward with the goal, which is a Christ-like life. Goes on in verse 13. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Once again, Paul is saying, "I do not count myself to have apprehended it." He has not grabbed hold of it yet. He has not grabbed hold of what the goal is of being with Christ. Or he doesn't even probably quite understand the fullness of what Christ has actually done for us. And I think that's all going to be revealed to us once we get up there with our Savior. He's going to reveal all to us what has been done. Paul goes on to say here that he is forgetting the past. 2020 can definitely be a forgettable year. We need to forget that year. But the truth of it is 2021 probably won't be any better. And we need to continue to move towards the goal of being like Christ. We all would like to forget 2020, that's for sure. But he's telling us to forget those things that are behind us. Forget the past hurts. forget the past heartaches that we've had, forget the past sins or mistakes that we've made in the past. I used to run track, and maybe some of you have run, or any kind of foot race as a child. You know, as long as you keep looking towards the goal and you keep moving, your momentum is going in the right direction. But as soon as you look back at those who are running behind you, you lose momentum. And that's what Paul is telling us here. Forgetting those things which are behind, we can't look back at the past. We can't look back at our mistakes. We can't look back at 2020 and say, wow, I wish I would have done better. It's too late for that. We need to keep moving forward. We need to keep pressing towards the goal of the prize. So we need to forget about the sins that can condemn us and paralyze us, but we also have to forget about our success that has happened in the past as well. Those successes that even Christ may have allowed us to have, because that can often build up pride in our hearts as well whenever we start dwelling on all the good things that we've done in our past. The good and the bad are done. We can't go back and change them or do them any better. We have to continue to move on with the goal. In verse 14, it says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call. What is that upward call? It should be my goal and your goal for this year, to continue to be like Christ, to be able to be ready when he comes back to get us, whether it's through rapture or through death. We need to be able to be prepared for when he comes. As Paul noted in verse 13, we need to focus on our forward momentum and not our prior mistakes. A person cannot move ahead if their thoughts are constantly focused on what was behind them. We can never move forward if we're constantly thinking about what is behind us. Being in heaven with the Lord is the ultimate goal, and Paul is looking forward to that day whenever he was rewarded for his faithful service. We should all look forward to that day. We should look at that as our end goal as we run this race of life that we're in, that constantly looking for that prize that is awaiting us up in heaven for our service that was done here on earth. The prize is to be with Christ. This is not salvation. Salvation is a free gift that is given. But this is a prize that we are trying to obtain. And that prize is to live eternally with Christ, with our Savior, with our Maker in heaven, and to be with him for all eternity. That is the prize that we are racing for. We are racing to hear, good job, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. That's what we are all striving for. That should be our goal. And how many know we can't run a race just sitting down on our couch or here in the pews? We can't win a race and obtain that prize by just sitting. We have to get up and actively live a life of Christ. We have to day in and day out be thinking about how can I form my life to be more like Christ. And though we may have other goals for 2021, we may have goals as a family, goals as an individual, goals in our professions, goals in our health. They are all great, but they are rubbish in comparison to what our ultimate goal should be. And that should be in living a life dedicated to Christ in 2021. So as we get into 2021, let's leave these heartaches and these mistakes that we've made in 2020 behind and focus as believers on what lies ahead, pressing towards the goal or the upper calling of God in Jesus Christ. We're not to look at the past. There's nothing for us back there anymore. We can only move towards the future. Verse 15, it says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. If your mind is dwelling in the past, if you're defeated because of someone else's past, God will bring that to light and let you know, hey, it's all right, son, it's all right, daughter. You can let those things go. I've taken care of that. And we can move forward. Paul is telling us here that our mind should be on those things which are in the future. Our mind should be on things which are from above, things which are up in heaven. That's the heavenly things is what our mind should be on, not these earthly things that we struggle with. Now, that's not saying that we shouldn't be good in our communities, but we should always constantly be looking forward to a life with Christ. In verse 16, it says, "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." Paul is encouraging us, hey, we've already obtained some of this, because as we walk with Christ, we're going to become more like him day in and day out. So each of us has obtained some level of Christ-likeness within our life. Some of us are more seasoned believers than others. Some of us are babes in Christ. So we're on different levels as far as our maturity is with Christ. So wherever you're at, continue to walk that way, but always improve. Stay in the race. Quit looking back and losing your momentum. Keep moving forward and maturing in Christ. And he's saying, as believers, we should all be of the same mind. We should all have the mindset of running this race, not only as individuals, but together as a body. We should all have the same end goal in mind, is to go and to be with Christ. And in 2021, if we keep our minds focused on Christ and focused on the upward calling, we won't get distracted with the hurdles that are going to be here in 2021. More coronavirus, more political madness. But if we keep our minds focused on Christ, we can eliminate all those things for the time being. The Lord will help us get through those hurdles and those obstacles that get into our race. Verse 17, it says, Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Paul is telling the church of Philippi to follow his example. Now, is Paul saying, hey, I've arrived? No, he's not saying that, because obviously in verse 12 he tells us that he has not obtained it. He is not perfect. But he is telling the church here that the goal of Christians is to become more like Christ. So follow the good example that I'm going to set for you to become more like Christ. And since his focus is entirely on this goal, and he considers all other goals, as we just talked about earlier, as rubbish, second in comparison to what our goal should be, which is following Christ, Paul's best teaching isn't his writings, but it was going to be his example in his life. And our example in our life should be the best teachings we have for others who are in this dark world. Some people never see Jesus. Sometimes you're the only Jesus they see. So let's make sure we're giving a good example of our Savior. If our lives are reflecting Christ so others can follow our examples, Paul suggests here that we should follow him, that following him is not arrogance, but following him will lead us in the right direction and put us on the right path towards Christ. I think it is a good idea to look at other godly men and other godly women as examples of how we should be in Christ. I have a couple of them, men that I follow and that I love dearly, that I follow their example of Christ. I also could follow their mistakes they make too and know not to make them as well. And I think each of us, no matter how old we are or how young we are, should find that person in Christ that is a little more mature than us and a little more seasoned, that we'll be able to kind of model our walk behind, that we'll be able to mature in Christ just as they have, whether it's someone physically that we talk to every day, or it may be a leader that you can read a biography about or autobiography about how they walk their lives out. And we'll be able to model ourselves as they pressed on towards the prize. In verse 18 and 19, it says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Those end in destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." So after making an appeal to followers who are a godly example, Paul mentions those who have taken a dark path. We need to be wary of them, but we also need to pray for those who are leaving those astray or those who just not have found Christ yet. Paul cared for those who rejected and did not walk in the ways of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 2:4, he says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you." He's talking to believers here, but he's also talking to the church of Corinth, who were very much going astray in a lot of things. And a lot of these epistles that he wrote, there were false teachers that were coming into these churches who were preaching a false doctrine of Jesus other than the Jesus that Paul and the apostles were coming in to preach. And Paul still had a heart for those people who were preaching the wrong gospel. He wanted them to be saved just as much as these other people within the church who were not saved yet. And in verse 18, he calls them the enemies of the cross. That is harsh words. If you are not, the truth is, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you are an enemy of God. That's the bottom line. That's about as plain as I can put it. You are an enemy of God. And us as believers, if you're listening online, we don't want you to be enemies of God. We want you to be brothers and sisters with us in Christ. But so many people choose to walk their own path, contrary to the path that we should walk as Christians, and they are considered enemies of Christ. And Paul was saddened by this. This did not make him happy that people were preaching a false gospel. This did not make him happy that people were falling away and dying without Christ. It saddened Paul. And it should sadden and concern us as well. Because one of our goals in Christ is to go out and to make disciples of men, right? To make people disciples of Christ. And that should be one of our goals here in 2021 as we press on with the goal. In verse 18, Paul expresses his sorrow for those who are not running the race, for those who are causing hurdles in our race, those obstacle courses in our race. And remember, last week we talked about sleeping with our boots on and staying alert and staying alive to the attacks of the enemy. And one of those attacks are through the false teachers that we have in our land and in this world today that keeps us from running that good race. And I have four things to watch for when it comes to these enemies. Number one, the false teachers are not safe people who are misunderstanding the word. A lot of these false teachers are unsaved individuals looking to fleece the flock and lead the flock astray. They're doing it for their own reasons. Number two, their focus was on greed. If you notice in verse 19, it says, At the end is destruction, whose God is their belly. So they're doing it for greed, for their belly to fill it with money, to fill it with power and worldly lust. 1 Timothy 6:5 says, unless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gains, from such withdraw yourself. 1 Timothy warns us to stay away from such false teachers and teachings. Many false teachers are more concerned with their own desires than the need of the people. Politicians more concerned with their own desires instead of the people they're supposed to be representing. The health and wealth preachers always asking you to send in some money. They're more worried about their pockets than they are the people who are following them. The seeker-friendly church just preaching a nice, calm, peaceful message, but not getting into the root of what we really need to know as believers. They pray on the weak and they draw them off course. And many believers have lost their goal by following these people. Number one, we need to pray for their salvation. Number two, we need to pray for those who are following to be released from that. Number three, Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That sounds just like 2020. Those who call evil good and good evil. Everything that we as believers stand for have seemed to be turned on its head this year. And we have been persecuted. We have been ran down for our beliefs, thinking that we're the crazy ones for believing what we believe. The Bible right here in Isaiah tells you that this is going to happen. And this has happened for centuries. There's nothing new underneath the sun. But we can see it. It just seems like more prevalent today. We see it on the news and social media, all these different sins that they like to glorify. It's not that they're excusing sin anymore, but they're actually taking pride in the sin itself. And as believers, we need to stand up against that and call evil evil and call good good. And there should be no confusion coming from our lips when it comes to this. And number four, the goal of the false teacher is not on Christ, but or with him in eternity, but their goal is the here and now, is what they can gain from the sheep who are going astray or the people. So all four of these traits are definitely opposite of what believers should be pursuing and following Christ. We as believers should know Christ and make him known. We shouldn't be making another Christ known, but the biblical Christ is what we should be making known. We should be humble and promote what is right, set our minds on things that are in heaven. Setting our minds on things which are in heaven, that should be constantly on our mind, pursuing the goal. Now we're going to have some better news. In verse 20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our citizenship is heaven. We are simply passing through this earth. This is not our home, people. We are just pilgrims passing through. One day we're going to get to be with Christ, and we're going to be home in our true home with him. The house I live in will be destroyed one day. The truck I drive will be destroyed one day. But my home that is up with our Savior will live on forever and ever and ever. And that is the goal that we should be pressing towards. The things we do and the things we own here are temporary. And they can also often be hurdles in our race. That we get bogged down with the materialistic things that we have in our life. And we seem to put them ahead of the goal of Christ. And that should be secondary to the goal that we have as Christians. As believers, we should focus on Christ and his soon return. Focus on what pleases God. Prepare for his return and when we go to him. That should be what we think about day in and day out. There's a saying that says, "You are so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good." Y'all have ever heard of that saying before? I hate that saying. I hate it with a passion. Because the Bible tells us that we should be pursuing things that are above. Verse 14 tells us that we should be pursuing the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call. Not the earthly call. The upward call. Colossians 3:1 tells us, "If then you were raised with Christ." Are we raised with Christ? If we're believers, we're being raised with Christ. "Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." We're so concerned about our material things, but what does Matthew 6:33 tell us? "Seek first the kingdom of God, then all these other things will be." He'll take care of the needs of the believer. Our lives are no longer our own. We are hidden in Christ. We should start walking and living that way in 2021. If you haven't done it already, I pray we've all been doing that. We died with Christ. Who Brandon was before Christ, I like to say B.C., before Christ, who I was before then, is not the same person I am now. I'm not the same person as I was just a year ago, because we should constantly be moving forward, leaving that past behind like Paul was telling us. In verse 21, I like this verse too. "Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glory, glorious body, according to the work by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Paul ends on a positive note. He says, believers can look forward to a time when our race is complete and the pain and the problems we have in our earthly body are gone. The pain I have in my foot, the pains I have in my knees, the pains I get as I get older, the forgetfulness I get as I get older will all be washed away one day. We'll be perfected. We'll have a body as he has, which is perfect. And we can put that as part of the prize that we are racing for. Part of the prize that we are pursuing in our life, not only to be with him, but to be perfected in him. To have a perfect body once again. We can take comfort in our future knowing that God has the power to transform us and to keep us secure. This world is not very secure. 2020, I think, has exposed a lot of those things, that this world is not as secure, our jobs are not as secure, our finances are not as secure, our health is not as secure. But in God, we can be secure for our future, because he promises a future with him in eternity, and he is not a promise breaker, but a promise keeper. And I think we need to rest on that here in 2020. We must leave the past in the past and press on towards the prize that must be our goal in 2021. We must focus on the upper call of God in 2021, constantly striving to be more like Christ, being an example to all as we focus upward. Amen. All right, let's get prepared for communion. Have the praise team come up.
Be still, there is a healer. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. Still, there is a river that flows from Calvary Street, a fountain for the thirsty. His grace washes over me. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever.
Amen. You are faithful, Lord. As we press towards the goal in this new year, I think there's no better way to start it off than coming to the table in communion, remembering why we press towards that goal, the whole reason for our salvation. You know, communion is symbolic of what Jesus did for us on the cross, remembering the sacrifice that he made for us. And daily we should remember this, but we come together at least once a month as a body to remember this together, to remember that the breaking and the eating of the bread represents Christ's body that was broken for us on the cross. The drinking from the cup has to do with the shedding of the blood whereby our sins will be forgiven. Jesus promised to spare us eternal death and cover our sins with his own blood. Just that should make us want to press on for him, to live a life that is worthy of him. Breaking his body and pouring himself out so that we, as believers, we can have that relationship with him. that our sins can be washed away by his blood, no longer having to look back at those things, but move forward with what Christ has done for us. And as Jesus and his disciples gathered to eat and remember the purpose of the Passover, Jesus made a new promise to us. And he said, and when he gave thanks and broke it and said, take our bread now, that represents the broken body of Christ, he says, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Father, we thank you, Lord, for getting us through 2020, Lord. We thank you, Lord, as we get into 2021, that we can start fresh with you, that we can pursue the goal, Father God, of your upward call, that we pursue a goal of living after your Son as we live for Christ, as we try to imitate him, Father God, in our daily lives, as we look forward to that ultimate prize of being with you in glory. We ask that you would strengthen us throughout this year of 2021, that you would give us opportunities to be more like Christ, that you would give us opportunities to shed your light, to be that salt and that light to this lost and dying world, Father. And thank you, Father, that we're able to come to your table today and to remember the sacrifice that was made on the cross, with the breaking of your body, Lord, and the spilling of your blood that forgives us of our sins and makes us right with you again, Lord. We thank you, and we give you honor, and we give you praise today. Let us finish with a song.